Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Good things are happening. Yes. Amen. And I pray that you're experiencing good things in your house as well. Glory to God. Well, are you ready to look in your Bibles this morning? Look at some scripture. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What have we been talking about? Faith in the power of God. Praise the Lord. Well, open your Bibles with me, if you would, this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 1, it says this, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom." Let me stop for a second. Paul was capable of persuasive words. Paul was very trained. I know I'm reinforcing this each week, but Paul, even though he was at, shall we say, the top of his class on some of these things, very capable in all of these things that he's setting aside, he's choosing not to depend on those things, but to depend instead, as he says next, "but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." So Paul wanted to preach the gospel, preach the good news, wanted to preach Christ and have it backed up by demonstrations of the Spirit and manifestations of power. Amen. One of the, the proof is God's anointing or manifestation of power. When someone preaches, it should be accompanied by power. It should be accompanied, and I don't necessarily mean that we see a miracle before our eyes, but there's going to be something about it. There's going to be something about it where the power of God is in it. The presence of God is in it. There's going to be a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Then next in verse 5, he says, "that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." So what we've been talking about here, and it, by my count, is the sixth week that we're talking about having faith in the power of God as opposed to faith in the wisdom of men. Now, there is a lot of knowledge and information that is valuable. I think particularly last week we talked a little bit about medical knowledge and the state of technology and knowledge to help individuals and help people. You probably should learn something about money if you want to do well in that arena. And God will help you in that arena. I have learned principles concerning money and finance, but honestly, I'm prospered by God. Oh, yes. And we talked about, I think it was last week, have no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in the flesh. So there may be financial principles that are wise and good to follow, but that's not the source of your confidence. My trust is in God. And honestly, if you set out to be a financial success, there are principles you can use, and you can achieve quite a lot just based on good money management, but that wouldn't be true of my life. I started out with very poor money management. Anybody say amen? Amen. And learn some things. But honestly, one of the reasons that Sandy and I really turned our attention to the Lord was out of financial need. And God prospered us out of a really deep hole and helped us. And by the way, wisdom of men really was the wisdom of God that men have figured out. Our faith is to be, or said another way, our confidence is to be, our trust is to be in the power of God. Amen. So this week I want to maybe go in this direction here. Maybe we'd call it backing up just a little bit and asking a fundamental question. Because we've been talking about put your trust in God. Trust in the power. Look for the demonstration and power of the Spirit, not man's wisdom. And we've talked a little bit even on building a church. We're not going to build a church on the wisdom of men. And by that, I mean marketing ideas, what's the current strategy for church growth and all that. There's a whole church industry, the church growth industry, and you can spend thousands on programs and resources and training seminars and all that stuff. And in years past, I've been to some of those. And there's occasionally some good ideas and all of that, but they're very faddish. It's adapting to culture, and I suppose there's nothing wrong with that, to a point, and saying, this is the way you attract people now, and this is the way you attract people now, and this is the way you attract people now, and all that kind of thing. Well, that's okay, but I don't think you should trust those things. And I'll be honest with you, at this point in my life, I have one question. Am I doing what God asked me to do? If I am, none of the other stuff matters. Amen. Because I have learned if I'll follow God and do what He asked me to do, the blessing is there. If I get out of line following Him, not doing what I'm supposed to do, I don't care how many new principles and what kind of marketing campaign, I don't care what kind of coffee bar you put in and whatever, right? Anyway, doing the best, just simply follow God, little by little through the years, getting free. To paraphrase, it was said to Paul this way, the Lord said He had to make him free of men to send him to men. That is free of the men's approval. So when you as a pastor or whomever, if it's all about the people approving and so on, you're going to be pretty miserable. So anyway, the wisdom of men is not the route to go, is what we're saying, even in building a church. So I've gotten to where, yes, with COVID and other factors and whatever it is, there's fewer people in church, right? And in talking to pastors, it's like that nationwide. So, okay, that's a thing. But still, I'm getting free of, I got to be careful how I say this. It's not that I don't care if somebody's not here, but it doesn't affect God's blessing on me. Does that make sense? Is that a way to say that, you know? I only ask, am I doing what God's called me to do? Amen. So, fundamental question. What is the power of God for? We're asking you to trust the power, but what for? To what end? For what reason? Why trust the power of God rather than the wisdom of men? In other words, what does the power of God do that concerns me or that involves me? Now, we could talk about the power of God, maybe being manifest in a service. Maybe it's a healing service. Maybe we see somebody crippled from birth, and we say, rise up and walk, and they get out of that wheelchair, run around the room, first time ever in their life, you know? Power of God for that healing there, that's an awesome thing. But if you're not the one that's crippled and needs that power, what's the power for? For you. Now, I will admit, it's pretty infectious. I like being in places where the power of God's in manifestation in a tangible way. And even things like, I enjoy a good Holy Ghost buzz. Amen. Or a good Holy Ghost drink in the Spirit and get a good laugh going, right? Yeah. That refreshes the soul. It's just something just kind of gets flushed out. Amen. But years ago, remember all those revival services that we had here? And there was some that had visions. I was one of them. And sometimes, what we call that? I think we called it carpet time, yes. Right? Some of us would just lay out here in the Spirit, and we'd be an hour or better after service just in the Spirit. And I saw things and heard the Lord talking to me. So there's times you go, oh, wish we had that, right? Some of it is as the Spirit wills. And some of it is as the people hunger and desire. So what is the power for? How does it concern or involve me? I am to trust God rather than wisdom of men. Well, wisdom of men would tell you all of this laying on the carpet in the Spirit is baloney, it's fake, is no such thing. It's weird. All of those sorts of things, you know. What's the benefit? What's it for? Let me ask you this question. Is there benefit to the power of God involving you? Do you want the power of God involved in your life? Do you have anything that needs something more than the wisdom of men? Now, in finance, you might refer to Brother Dave Ramsey to get a good start on getting a budget and getting your financial life together. But that only goes so far, and I don't know about you, but I want the power of God involved in my family finance. Amen. 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 So what's it for? What am I to trust God for? To what benefit or to what end? And I thought about going through all the possible benefits, and they are many. There's one in particular that the Lord wants me to talk about. Praise the Lord. So what benefit or what end? And I think we'll really talk about this next week. But the power of God, the Lord said it to me this way, the power of God to supply your need. Would you like the power of God involved in meeting your needs and supplying your needs? Would you like something more than your job? Would you like something more than, say, a Social Security check or something like that? Something more than whatever it is that's working for you right now? I would. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Y'all know the saying that I say from time to time, and it's the power of God working in my life. I heard so many individuals talk about easy come, easy go concerning money, and I realized, well, they're having what they say. And it didn't matter how much they earned, it all leave too, right? So I figured out you got to patch the hole in the bucket before you really worry about how much water goes in the bucket. When you say easy come, easy go like that, or money comes but money goes, you know, there goes more, you're creating the hole in your bucket, right? So I learned and adopted a new saying, and I've been saying it for years now, and it's true. It just worked this morning. And I say this, money finds me. Money chases me down, and it jumps in my pocket. And I asked one brother this morning, are you saying that too? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Money found me this morning. It chased me down. It jumped in my pocket. I want the power of God in my financial life. Amen? We're going to talk about God's power to provide for your needs, to supply you. Because there's a religious idea that God will meet your needs, but nothing extra. Have you noticed this? When somebody gets a new whatever it is, then they start explaining how it was on sale. Well, what does that matter? God can only meet your need when it goes on sale? Huh? Yeah? Or you got to tell the whole story about how you knocked them down on price and all that kind of thing. I have a favorite car salesman that we've bought a few cars from, and he's a brother in the Lord. He and his wife happened to lose a child just as an infant. His mother became disabled, and he is caring for his mother at home. My heart goes out to him and all that, and I realize I shouldn't be beating him down to the last nickel on buying a vehicle. I should follow my heart, and we'll work it together. And then that's good. That's good. He needs a blessing too. Amen. Amen. And I've really come through a transition here in some years. You can believe God for a great price and being on sale, or you can believe God for the extra money to pay for it, even at full price. And I figured out it takes faith either way. It takes faith either way. And if I'm okay with believing God for the resources to do now what needs to be done, I won't have to wait around for a sale. Amen. Now, there's nothing wrong with buying when something's on sale or when the market affords a good opportunity. Nothing wrong with that at all. But I learned it takes faith either way. I'm really growing and learning on some of those things. Amen. Go with me if you would. We'll just provide some background here to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. And in Ephesians, Colossians, Romans, man, them are just some great books with the doctrine and the teachings that belong to us as new covenant believers. And so Ephesians 3:20, if I had to pick only one book of the Bible that I could hold on to the rest of my life and I had to give up all the others, it'd be a little bit of a tough choice. It'd be Romans or Ephesians. Amen? Because there's the most new covenant revelation in those. But Ephesians 3:20 says this, "Now to him who is able to do," if you can do something, you have the power to do it, right? Amen. So we're talking about the power here. "Him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above." Now I looked these words up just to be sure. What is it saying here? It means excessive. We can believe God just to meet the need, but that's not his style. His style is to meet a need excessively. The psalmist said, "My cup runs over." Amen. And every time I think about that, they didn't have this back in the day when it was written, you know, in the Psalms there. But I think of the cup and saucer at a restaurant, and here comes the waitress, pours in the coffee, and fills the cup until it overflows and keeps pouring, and then it fills up the saucer, which is supposed to catch the drips, right? And then the saucer's full and keeps overflowing, and now it's running out on the tablecloth and keeps pouring, and now the tablecloth is saturated and it's dropping in my lap. That's the idea. That's overflow. My cup runs over. If God's doing something in your life, he doesn't want to just meet the need. He wants to pour out too much. He wants to pour out more than you need. He wants to give you not only what you need and the tithe on that money and an offering on that money, but something to put a spring in your step too because you're prospering. Amen. So we're talking about the power of God. "To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think." Have you ever asked big? Now, I can recall some years ago, Pastor Sandy particularly, dwelling and thinking and meditating on this, she came to a place and a revelation where she understood it honors God to ask big. Amen. It honors God to think big, to ask big. God instills vision in us, and when we're bold enough to believe that glimpse of something he put on the inside could actually come to pass and it could come into reality. I mean, anybody besides me daydream and think a little bit? Improvements we're doing now in this building, I've seen years ago. In my heart, in my mind, and I see more for us in our church building. I see things in my own personal real estate, my house, all that kind of stuff. I still walk around and imagine and see it. And this says that he can do excessively more than something that I can even imagine. He'd have to go pretty far to get beyond my imagination. But that's what the Bible says here. Can you imagine all your bills paid? Can you imagine all of the wash machine, the car, everything in the house is new and in good shape? Can you imagine, well, now let's just get a nicer house or something like that. Can you imagine all of your relationships restored? Amen. Can you imagine your body healthy and strong? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He's able to do that. And more, and much more. "To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." So we're asking the question, well, what's the power for? What's it for? It's for doing what you're asking and thinking. That's what the power's for. If you can ask it, if you can think it, there's power available to do it. Amen. Amen. I mean, you got to think on that just a little bit. Yeah, you ready? Let's think on it again here. The power is for doing what you could ask or even what you could think. There's more than enough power for that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And we often think things, we go, oh, that's too crazy, that's too far out there. That's just wild. That'll never happen. Years ago, Pastor Sandy and I were looking at a house in Colorado. And it would be a second place for us up in the mountains there. We had it all picked out. Beautiful place. Believing God had said something to us about it. And gained the trust of the owner to where he was not living in the house. He was a businessman, lived in Connecticut. That's the house that they went to once in a while. I mean, it's quite a place. I can't remember if it was 6 or 7 bedrooms and a bathroom for every bedroom and all of that. You know, big log cabin. You step inside the door and a creek flowed across under a little bridge inside with a waterfall inside and all of that. Magnificent fireplaces and so on. Just a magnificent place. And we were convinced it's ours. It's ours. It's ours, right? We believe in God. Yeah, that's ours. And the owner trusted me, and we made at least 3, if not 4 visits to the house, 3 of them without a realtor breathing down our necks. The owner gave us the location of the key and the alarm code to go in. So we'd go and spend the afternoon walking through the house, praying. I read scriptures. I read from the book of Mark, where it talked about no one who, I'm going to paraphrase, who's given up mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, houses, and lands for my sake shall fail to receive or shall receive in this time 100-fold. Houses, lands, mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, and so on. And again, in this time is where that ends up. So I read those scriptures in that house and so on. Well, with the process of time, that just kept kind of fading from my attention, and it seemed further and further and further away. Well, not too long ago, 3 or 4 months ago, I had the Lord say to me, have you forgotten about that house in Colorado? Now, if he brings it up, that means he doesn't want me to forget about it. Okay. Amen. And since then, somebody else bought the house, all that kind of stuff. Somebody else is living there. That don't matter. They can just be taking care of it until I get there, right? Amen. Nobody needs a $2.5 million house. Well, no. But it's exceedingly abundantly above what I could ask or think. Praise the Lord. Amen. And you can look down in the distance, and you could see down the valley, there's the airport right there. That's where I can land the airplane. So anyway, praise God. Did I run too far out ahead of? No. If I can ask it, if I can think it, if I can find the scripture for it, he can do it. Amen. So the power is to work in us. Look there again at that 20th verse, the last part of it. According to the power that works in us. Can I tell you what I believe that means there? The power according to what you can believe for, that's working. It's working according to or in proportion to what you can believe. And the power is available to go beyond what you can ask or think. According to the power that works in us. And again, when you're in need, say, of physical healing in your body because something's pressing and that's the most immediate need, well, that's what should be talked about, not houses and so on. And that's what you should focus on. But their power is in us and works for us exceedingly abundantly, excessively. Amen. And that is what the power is for. The power is for working in you whatever you ask or think. Praise the Lord. Well, you could ask for something, of course, outside of the will of God, and it doesn't work there. And that's a separate subject. So follow God and what he has for you. The power is there to accomplish it, to see it done. Now, the companion question would be, well, how do I access this power? And we're touching on that just a little bit, too. That the power is there is one thing, but having it work in my life is another. And if you find somebody around you who seems like the Lord's blessing is just working and working and working, and it just seems like at every turn they're blessed, and then you might know somebody else that they just can't seem to catch a blessing ever. There's reasons for those things. And if you check it out a little bit, maybe ask a few questions, you can figure that out. One knows how to access that power, and another does not, or will not. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, please. Ephesians 1, 15. Now, when we started talking about the power of God, I was generally speaking of a whole church perspective. Paul preaching the gospel, that the people's faith would be in the power of God, certainly for salvation, that they'd be born again, that they would live forever with the Lord. That's the starting point, and that's the most important thing, is that people would be born again, that'd be saved, right? And then we may want to look at some things after that, that they be healed in body so they can enjoy their lives. Then some other things after that. Today I'm talking a little bit about some personal things. Our lives are to be our church together and we as individuals. Also, God's interested in both. He's not interested in kingdom only because we are children of the kingdom. We are His sons and daughters. He's interested in us personally. So both of these areas are important. Ephesians 1 and verse 15, "Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ," now he's going to tell us what he's praying, "that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." And then he's going to describe some things here that if you have that spirit of wisdom working in you, if you have revelation in the knowledge of him working in you, this is what you're going to see unfolding. So he says next, "the eyes of your understanding being enlightened." In other words, you're going to begin to know and you're going to begin to see some things. And he says three things, "that you may know what is the hope of his calling." Now we know that the Bible word hope means confident expectation. A little bit different from how we use the word today in English, where a hope is along the lines of, this is what I desire, but I don't really know if it's going to happen or not. That was not what it means in the Bible when this word hope is used. It is an expectation. Something more than just a maybe, maybe not. So we are to have an expectation, and we're to know what the expectation of his calling is. And I suppose we could spend a fair amount of time just teaching on that. Know this, when you're called of the Lord, you become a believer, there are some things you should expect. And unless you know what you should expect, you're not expecting it. When a woman is pregnant, she knows what she's expecting, a child, not puppies. A child. You should know what to expect. Amen. So you become a believer. What comes with that? What should you expect? And his calling to be a believer, his calling in your individual life, that you would be fit in the body as he chooses. You know, are you an exhortationer, an encourager? Are you a pastor, preacher? Whatever it might be, something in the body. There's a calling on your life. There's a calling to be a mother. There's a calling to be a father. There's a husband and wife calling. There's all kinds of callings. You should know what to expect comes with that. And wherever God calls, he also equips. So if you're called to be a whatever it is, the toolkit came with it. Now, you may be a novice with those tools and may have to learn how to use them. When you first have children, whether you be mother or father, there's a learning curve. How do you raise kids? So you got to learn those things, right? But the grace or the tools to do it come with the calling. And I've had to often take confidence in that. God called me to be a pastor, and that means he's given me what I need to be that pastor. It doesn't mean it's automatic. and I intuitively know, I got to search it out. I got to work at it a little bit, right? But there is an expectation with his calling. We should expect that he would heal our bodies, that he has healed our bodies. We should expect that he has met our needs, that with being a believer also comes the power and expectation of having my needs met. Amen. I mean, Jesus told us, seek first the kingdom, and he's going to add to you food, shelter, and clothing. And other places, he talks about abundance. We should expect, we're called, we should expect abundance. So there is an expectation of his calling. Then it says next, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? But from what I've been able to really research, and I've asked some other pastors, you know, the inheritance is the blessings experienced in this life, not necessarily the next life. Because it's kind of a religious idea that all blessings are for eternity, not for now. No, they're for now. They're for now as well. And there is a glorious riches available to us for this life in the inheritance. Amen. And then verse 19, and what is the exceeding? Well, there's that again. Just think excessive. Excessive. It's too much. It's too much. It's too much. Too much. You ever give somebody a gift and they just said, oh, this is too much? Right? You ever do that to somebody? They give you something. Oh, this is too much. This is too much. If God gives it, it's going to be too much. Amen. I know a man years ago, a believer, a Christian, he, in giving his testimony to others, would talk about the faithfulness of God to meet their needs, but he would say, sometimes it's at the very last minute, just in time, and it's just enough. So I know it's God because it's just exactly what we need and never more. And I thought to myself, brother, you keep saying that. It's all you're ever going to have is just enough at the last minute. Now, I suppose that's where his faith was at the time. But I was reading my Bible and I found out that he gives more than enough. So I made sure that I don't say it'll be at the last minute and it'll be just enough. And I've even learned if we need to ask God for, just pick a number, you need $1,000. God, I need $1,000. Well, no, you need $1,100 so you can pay your tithe. And then maybe you want to give an offering. So now I need $1,200. And just because you're God, I should be believing for abundance. So let's make it a smooth $1,500. And then $1,500 comes into your hands. You go, oh, God, you are the God that's more than enough. Amen. It's a mindset. It's a thinking. Remember, excessive. Let's look at this again. Verse 19, what is the excessive greatness of his power toward us who believe? It's not just the greatness of his power, it's the greatness of this power that's moving to us who believe. He is the creator of all the universe, and it is a great demonstration of power, but what's that got to do with me when I need a piece of bread to eat? Well, tell you what, his excessive power is moving to me if I believe. His excessive power is moving to me as a believer, or where faith is. Let's keep reading. According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. This is the exceeding greatness of his power. You want to know about his power? The greatest manifestation of power ever was raising the condemned, Jesus Christ, from under dominion and power, from under the bonds of hell. And if God can raise Jesus from hell, there's nothing you need that could even come close to the demand on his power. Amen. There's some parallels in the natural world to these things. Electricity is demonstrative of one of those kinds of things. You know, we have some outlets around here and so on. They have a hot wire coming to them, and that wire has no current flowing through it whatsoever until you plug in, let's say, a vacuum. And when you plug in a vacuum, what happens? Power begins to flow because there is a demand on the power. In electrician's jargon, that's called the load. Praise the Lord. It's the load. So if we plug in a small light bulb, do you know that it takes no more power than what it can have flow through it? And light bulbs are rated. Now they're moving over to LED, everything's LED, and they require less power. But, you know, you'd be familiar with something like a 100-watt light bulb, right? Why do they call it a 100-watt light bulb? Because that's how much power it requires. That's its demand. That's its load. But the circuit has a lot more than 100 watts available. In fact, if we didn't have circuit breakers, the full capacity of what comes in the building could flow into that light bulb. If there was a demand, if there was a load. Praise the Lord. When you have a short circuit, what it does is place a great load and, you know, sparks fly and all that kind of thing, and a breaker will trip. Why? Because it's too much load. So what am I saying here? I am saying there is a potential power of God that's right up to you. How much power is going to flow? Exactly according to the load you place on it. Bigger load, more power. Amen. But if you don't place a demand on it, it just sits there as potential. So there is an exceeding greatness of his power. And that word toward, it implies direction, movement, purpose. God's power is directed to you. God's power is flowing toward you. But if you don't connect and you don't place a load or a demand on that power, it doesn't flow.
That's right.
I know a lot of people don't want to work with electricity. I work with a little bit around the building here. It's got some rules. You know, as long as you're insulated, you can grab hold of a live wire and nothing happens. But if you grab hold of a live wire and touch something that is grounded, well, now it's going to go through you and you will feel it. Right? There has to be a connection made. You have to complete the circuit. The power of God will flow through you and affect what you need it to affect, if you'll make the connection. And way too many Christians, way too many believers are saying, God, here's their prayer. We even got songs about it. Send your power. God, send your power. God, send your power. God, send your power. Now, if I want to vacuum something up in the building here, I don't take the cord of the vacuum, stand at the outlet, get on my phone and say, hey, power company, would you send some power over here so I can vacuum? Please send the power. Please send the power. They will think I'm an idiot. Just plug in the cord. Come on, the power is there. Prayer for God, send the power. Lord, send the power. We got songs like that, right? Send the power, send the rain, all that kind of stuff. Plug in. Just plug in and turn on the switch. Turn on the switch and the power will flow and the work will get done. That's another term they use in electrical speak. They call it work. A motor could be labeled work. It's whatever the power is going to do, work. The power will work if you'll make the connection, and it's right there, and it's ready. It's already been generated. It's right there at the wall. It's right there at the wire. It's ready. The power's ready. The power's ready. Who's going to connect? It's working. How does it say it here? What is the exceeding or excessive greatness of his power toward those who believe? Those who believe. The power for your need, whatever it is ready, available, and waiting, and it's right there at the wall socket. Plug in. And this was Paul's prayer, that you would receive, that God may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. When you understand it, oh, just plug it in and turn on the switch, and any power I need is flowing. Once you grab hold of that, you can quit begging God to do what he's already done and start having the power flowing. And that excessive power is available to us. The exceeding greatness of his power moves toward those who believe. Power always flows to faith. Anywhere where there's faith, the power is flowing. Whether you see it right then or not, power is flowing. So whatever you can have faith for, you can have power for. They're not a separate transaction. You don't need to seek God and develop faith. Okay, now I got faith. Now I need to really seek the power. I need to get God to turn the power on. Then we can do something here. We could say it this way. The power to do a thing comes with the faith for a thing. Got that? When you enter into faith in a particular area, a particular realm, the power to accomplish it comes with it. There's no lack of power. There's no lack of willingness on God's part. The power is flowing. Now, when you understand this by faith, you understand the power is flowing even when you don't feel it, even when you don't see it, even when there's no evidence other than what you believe. Isn't that the definition of faith?
Yes.
I can't see it, but I believe it. Well, how do you know? I know in my knower. I know in my heart. I know in my soul. I know in my spirit. I know that by his stripes, I am healed. Well, you don't look very healed. The power is working in me. So whatever you can have faith for, you can have power for, because the power comes with the faith. Well, gee, if we only knew how faith could come, we could have the power come with it. Oh, wait a minute. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If we can hear the Word of God, and in that verse, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, it is in the original Greek language a continuous action. So it's hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. In other words, keep on hearing, keeping it, you know. It was said to Joshua this way, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night." Right? And then it goes on to say, "And then you shall prosper, and then you shall have good success in all that you put your hand to do," right? Or in all that he does. So faith. Faith, the power comes with the faith, and the faith comes by hearing the Word, and hearing the Word, and hearing the Word. So if you need some power, what do you need? You need some Word. You need some Word. And if you can identify an area in your life that needs some power, yeah, here's an area, needs some power. Well, I'm going to get some power working. How do I do that? Oh, please, God, send the power. Send the power. I need them good old Pentecostal songs. I need a revival service. We need to have a special guest speaker come, right? And then we have some power. You know, let's see, who do we know that really, when they minister, power comes, you know? And maybe you got a name or something like that. And there may be power if they come. And it may be based on they believe for the power to flow, right? But you don't need a special speaker. You need the Word of God. You need the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We can quickly prove this out. Remember the time in Capernaum, Jesus' hometown? where he's teaching in the house, and there were Pharisees, teachers of the law were gathered, and the house was packed. And it says they came from every region to hear him teach. This is in Luke chapter 5, starting at 17. We won't turn there, but we've looked at this story again recently. The house is packed. Jesus is teaching. They came to hear him. And it says in there that the power of the Lord was present to heal. Amen. So the power is there. The power is there. And when we looked at this before, why was the power there? Because the word was being taught. Whenever the word is taught, the power is there. It says the power of the Lord was present to heal. How many Pharisees got healed? None. How many teachers of the law got healed? None. Yet the power was there to heal. The power was there to heal. Did anybody get healed? Yes. Who was it? This is the house where they tore off the roof. And a fella had four crazy faith friends. I like how Mark Hankins talks about this. Everybody needs four crazy friends. Four crazy faith friends. They say, come on, we're taking you down to church. But I'm crippled. Well, get into bed and we'll carry you. Right? You need some folk that can carry you from time to time. They tore off the roof because they couldn't get in and lowered this brother down. And what does it say about Jesus? Jesus saw their faith. And where the faith is, the power is. And so the power of the Lord was present to heal the whole house. And there are other occasions where Jesus healed everybody there. But this case, only one. Why? Only one or one group believed. And the power flows to faith. The power flows to faith. And some of these folks said, well, God knows where I am, and if he's going to heal me, he can just heal me. It don't work like that. You know, if God heals, why don't you, you know, and you can lay hands and say, why don't you just go to the hospital and empty it out? Well, Jesus himself couldn't do that. Because the power flows where there's faith. The power flows where there's faith. So, again, what's the power for? And we could say it this way. The power is for manifesting the word believed in faith. The power is for manifesting the word that is believed in faith. So if someone believes Isaiah, Matthew, Peter, by his stripes, you are, or you, in New Testament language, you were healed. If someone believes that word, the power flows in them to accomplish that word. What's the power for? We could talk about individually, well, the power is for healing me. The power is for meeting my needs. The power is for prospering me. The power is for growing the church. The power is for supplying needs of the church. All of that. All of that's correct. But that all has a purpose. And that power is to manifest the word that is believed. Now, God's word is written in our Bibles. It's available worldwide, and it's still the number one selling book in the United States and in the world is the Bible. But there's a lot of houses where the Bible is, and there's no power flowing in that house. So it's not the static word of God. It is the word of God taken into the heart and believed. And wherever the word is believed, the power flows. Now, I know people, and you know people, that heard the word concerning being born again and saved and being alive forever and spending eternity in the presence of Jesus, that they believed that word, power of God went in them, they're born again, they're saved, and they kind of stopped believing after that anything else in their Bibles. So the power flowed for salvation, but the power's not flowing for healing. The power is not flowing for God meeting their needs. The power is not flowing in other areas. Why? The power is to manifest. Maybe we could say it this way, is to prove out. Or concerning the apostles in the book of Acts, the Lord confirming the word preached, confirming the word believed. So the power of God, what's its purpose? The purpose of the power of God is for manifesting the word believed. God is giving evidence as to the power and truth of his word. He will do what he said he will do in the life of the one who believes it. The power is for executing or completing or doing every promise of God. Every promise, every word has with it the power necessary to perform it. So if you hear something preached, something taught, if you hear and you get, as Paul talked, the spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of him, and you hear Philippians taught, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, and you hear that, and for the first time you go, oh, that's at all. And he's interested in meeting all my need. And not according to my need, but according to how rich he is. And when that revelation comes, faith comes, well, how come I'm living here without my needs met when he has met all my needs? I mean, there's an awakening there. There's a revelation there. And when it comes, the power to execute it comes with the word when you believe. It's a great package. We don't need to seek out the power separate from the promise. Just that quick. Revelation, faith, power starts flowing. Amen. Amen. Now, we're not just talking about having the mental knowledge. Yeah, I know. That's Philippians 4:19. I memorized that in Sunday school. I didn't. Maybe you did. Where I went to Sunday school, they weren't teaching that one. It's more than mental. It's when your heart grabs holding. I see it. 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 That's mine. That's mine. That's mine. That's mine. Father, I thank you that you've met all my need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I'm just going to go my way rejoicing and not have a concern or a worry anymore about my needs. Thank you, Father. And if a need crops up, I go, covered. Thank you, Lord. You met all my needs. This one's taken care of. And another one shows up. And then a big one shows up that you weren't expecting. Is it covered? All my need, all my need. Amen. The power of God is flowing toward us who believe. The exceeding, the excessive, the exceeding greatness of his power. So all the power necessary to perform whatever it is, including a healing, any miracle you can name, there's enough power for your miracle wrapped up in the word that promises it. And if you can believe that word, how did Jesus say it? All things are possible to him who believes. Is it possible God could do this? Is it possible God could do that? Is it possible I could move into a little more abundance in finances so, you know, I'm not late on things? Is it possible? Yes, it's possible to him who believes. The power comes with the faith. The faith comes by the word. Amen. Praise God. And the power to perform it is there. Well, how do you activate the power? How do you access the power? Is it not extremely simple? Do you not see that? How do you access the power? Believe the word. And act accordingly. You hear the word. Well, how would I act if I believe that? How would I act If I believe that God supplies all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, well, I wouldn't be thinking about it all night long and losing sleep. His father said, hey, I got that covered. I mean, if you had a particular bill and Pastor Dan called you up and says, you got a bill? Yeah. And I don't know how to pay it and so on. And if I said to you, oh, don't worry about it, I got it. Would you rest easy? Would you praise God? Would you go to sleep rejoicing? Oh, Father, thank you for Pastor Dan meeting my need. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. But what better than Pastor Dan, he promised he'll meet the need. He promised he'll meet the need. But then you wake up tomorrow and the need's still there. Well, what happened? What happened? Don't you worry none. That need's met. That need's met. And you rejoice the following day and the following day and the following day. Because some of these things take some time. Amen. And that's what faith is for, is to walk out those days. Praise the Lord. So how do you activate the power? How do you access the power? Believe the word and act accordingly. One time, Brother Hagin, in receiving his miracle where he was raised up from the deathbed, as he calls it, the Lord was speaking to him when he was in the bed one time, you know, and he received his miracle all in a moment, but it was something that he over weeks and months kept growing in and had to stick with. One particular morning, if I remember the story right, it might have gotten to 9 or 10 a.m. or something like that. And so he's recovering from incurable disease and all that. It was life-threatening. And the Lord said something to the effect of, well, if you're well, if you're healed, healed people aren't in bed at 10 o'clock. Well, it's understandable. If you're sick, you might still be in bed at 10 o'clock. And the Lord said, well, well people aren't in bed at 10 o'clock. And he realized, get up. How would a well person act is what he was saying the Lord was telling him. He talked about, he was still in high school when this happened, and he talked about the principal wanted to make concession for him. The principal at the school told him, hey, you know, the doctor said you could drop dead at any moment. You don't, if you're not feeling well one day, you don't have to come to school. And he told the principal, I'm not going to do that. I'll be here every day. Well, if you're not doing so well and you need to step out of the class and just go rest a little bit, teachers, you know, if you know, you go get a drink of water, whatever, it's all okay. But he knew the minute he would do that, he would lose what he received because he needs to act accordingly. Well people go to school. Well people don't need a bunch of breaks. Amen. And he said, sometimes it hurt, sometimes it was difficult, but he would push through, and he came to long life. Amen. Instead of dying in his teens, as medically he told must happen, has to happen. So act accordingly. If you'll believe the word, act accordingly. The power's working. It's flowing. Sometimes you might feel it, sometimes you might see it, but you won't always feel it, and you won't always see it. And I don't mean the power's not flowing. So what's the power for? The power is for manifesting the word of God in the life of those who believe. Amen. I don't know how to make it simpler than that. Does that work? Amen. Father, we just bless you and thank you for your word today. With it comes faith. With it comes the power to execute. So there are people in this room and watching on the camera there, Father, that right now have needs and have heard your word concerning these things. And Father, as they receive by faith, as they renew their faith, as they speak by faith again, the power to accomplish that thing is at work right now and working in their lives. Father, we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Good thing to just say from time to time is the power's working. It's working. It's working. Amen. Well, just before we go, we'll receive our offering this morning. The power of God is working in our finance as a church. We're blessed. We have abundance. We're accomplishing things. Amen. Some building projects are still going on. To me, it's evidence we're moving in the direction God's calling. And we're seeing the blessing. Amen. So your opportunity is here right now. Give and it shall be given you. And many other scriptures, you bring that blessing into your house as well. Amen. I want to see the people of this church be blessed. Amen. A long time ago, I figured out for the church to be blessed, the people need to be blessed. And so I don't lack any pressure on giving. Sure, we'll teach the word and we'll encourage you towards giving because it's part of God's plan for your flow. I'm more interested in you being blessed. And as you are blessed, this house will be blessed as well. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for all the needs being met here in Renew Church. And we speak over all of these gathered and giving. We thank you for the blessing flowing to them. As they obey the word, they act as if it's true, they act accordingly. The power of God in their finances is at work as well. And I'll speak over them. Money finds them. Money chases them down. Money jumps in their pockets. And Father, we thank you for this. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Just be rejoicing all week over his power to meet your need. Amen. We'll see you next week.